Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are, as we approach midwinter, Imbolc or Candlemas, celebrated tomorrow on February 2nd, but true Imbolc midwinter will be February 4th. But it's the time when all the deities of fertility who have been dormant and gone away light their candle and begin ascending up from the underworld, and we with them. So more than perfectly, better a trickster than a martyr be. It's been my dedication ongoing. Oh, trickster gods, hold me to this. Liberating trickster ghost dance. So we are engaged in further animation of authentic guiding prophecy. Better to create prophecy than live prediction. Prediction comes from predicament, almost always a bad thing, as the antidote to toxic mimic evangelical con. And so we are welcoming the return of my Libran Neptune spirit brother, Michael Stewart Ani. Authentic animism, dissolving the toxic wall in all realms, protecting La Lomita Chapel, will animate this on the border, and all that it represents. And Michael's dedication, animating the 9,000-year-old ghost dance. We wed our dedications, liberating trickster ghost dance, triumph against all odds. Michael's website is Michael Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T, Ani, A-N-I, .com. So, welcome, Michael.
Welcome, Caroline. Good to be here.
Excellent. Well, you know, it's good. And then, you know, because we are drawing our chart for today, our guiding chart is just fantastic. The moon is setting in the west with Venus. Again, all guiding wisdom of how to cooperate with the earth from myriad traditions. Trining Yorna, seeking, you know, trickster animation in a fresh way through each one of us. Oh, that's really great. So I just wanted to put a little bit of wonderful quirkiness, you know, because everything is befoibled and there's wonderfulness everywhere. So on Twitter, there's a fantastic person. Thank you, Sean Hoyer, for guiding me to her. Dr. Moody, M-O-U-D-H-Y, Al Rashid. And she's done a great, you'll have to go there to check it out, a great animation of the Return of Ishtar, which is now, with Star Trek emojis. It's really splendid. But again, the ancient thing, it says, and when Ishtar and all the goddesses were gone below, the bull would not mount the cow, the young man slept in his own chamber, the young girl slept by herself, the world was in ruins, right? And then it's the return. Anyway, it's a really fantastic thing. Just a shout out to Dr. Moody Al-Rashid, bringing ancient texts and myths alive and wedded with the spiritual wisdom of Star Trek, you know, in a fresh form. And anyway, it's adorable. So yes, to us, I think maybe as we spoke backstage, I wanted to bring up La Lomita Chapel, right? And so it's a little chapel that was built in 1899. I will hum this part of history. And it's right on the border. It's Father Roy and the local sheriff who love it. It's getting a lot of news attention, right, because it is threatened by the wall. They want to, in eminent domain, its land. And everyone there in the neighborhood, there's a lot of press, go, this is a very peaceful place. There's no problem. We have a responsibility to protect migrants, but it's never been a problem. This is a peaceful, serene, spiritual center, they say. And February 6th is when lawyers will be arguing, I think in the Supreme Court, freedom of religion up against the wall. And even Georgetown University is lending its law school to this. And we go, huh. So I wanted to toss it to you, Michael, because, yes, everything's got its bad thing, and you're such a good narrator of this, Catholic Church, boo. But Catholic Church also, yay, it's been a kind of carrier for positive tradition in Latin America, yeah?
Yeah, you know, like everything that you're saying, a sword could have blades on both sides, good and bad. And the Catholic Church, who had obviously a very long history since the conquest of being destructive in the Americas, over the years has also had its moments where they very much have supported the indigenous people. And actually the laws about giving a community land back to indigenous communities started in Chiapas, Mexico, Bartolomé de los Casas, who was a friar who very much supported the indigenous people. But what's been happening in Latin America is there's been a struggle between the Catholic Church and the American evangelists. And the church has been much more standing by retaining indigenous culture, whereby its very nature the evangelists want to evangelize and change it. So I don't know, but I'm wondering if this is part of the Loma battle, which is the church is saying, here we are giving something to the migrants, giving something to people who were not in a good situation. And once again, Trump and those who are following an evangelist doctrine have no empathy for it whatsoever. They just feel they can remove it and it doesn't matter, where I'm sure there are many people who get solace and comfort from that church.
Yeah, well, it's a living beacon, and I have a picture of it on my altar. It's easy to find. You just do a search, and it comes right up, and it's very darling. And, of course, it's right next to the butterfly sanctuary that also is threatened with destruction by this wall, whose funding has already been approved, right? And so the Dementors of Doom are trying to build as much wall as possible even before the court case. So now is a time for spiritual and practical mojo for what this is and what it symbolizes, you know, the butterflies and this tiny, humble chapel that is a true spiritual beacon for everyone who lives there and says, this is a very happy place. We don't need this wall. So there's a great deal.
I know parts of the border region. I know the Yaqui reservation that goes on both sides of the border. And there's a tremendous amount of desert wildlife out there that has no understanding of border lines and has no understanding that that you can be on this side of a river or that side of a river. They're wild animals, and it's going to disrupt an entire corridor of wildlife and possibly have a very negative, if not destructive, impact. And as we know now in the news, species are going extinct at an unbelievable rate. As for me personally, the blue hyacinth macaw, which in the Amazon was a bird in the area of the Alto Orinoco I was in, was a bird that flew in flocks. We'd see it. We love it. And I read sadly on the web the other day, in the last 2 years, it's gone extinct. And there have been animals like types of butterfly, rosette jaguars, and animals that have already gone extinct because of the physical border that was put up. Once again, borders that were put up specifically to divide people, to divide the indigenous people of the Americas, who, as we were speaking with the Goat's Dance, have been united in soil and united in belief system in cosmology. And these borders are there to separate people and animals, not to protect them.
Right. And part of the ironic, horrific threat is that the border wall, as currently planned, but we're going to do what we can, would put the La Alameda Chapel in Mexico. And as a commentator said, it's like making parts of America Mexico again, right? Which means that it would be cut off from services and cut off from its parishioners and cut off from fire department, cut off from, and exactly as you say, the animals. And I think part of the power of our cahooting and ongoing creative projects that we might do, Caroline Casey and Michael Stewart Ani may be doing some vernal equinox things in California. We'll keep you posted. There we go. But it's time, you know, from our different traditions that are all confluencing, you know, of this cooperative animism. And Jornus trickster genius will re-enter Taurus, Big Mama's sensual thing, Earth, on March 7th until April 2026. So for my mythos, you know, that's what we got. You know, game on, dance on, ghost dance on.
Absolutely. And also there's a metaphor in this that while they want to take away all the support from this specific church, it goes right in line with they want to take all support away from Latino people who have lived in the United States for many years and have families. It's all about taking away from nature, taking away from motherhood, taking away from family, why they go out and preach that they are all about democracy and family, but attacking other people's countries with coups, not having humanity for children, separating mothers from children. This has nothing to do with humanity or democracy. It only has to do with hatred and dominance.
And a horrific distraction from real emergency. Yeah, and Rumpelstiltskin, may the fairy tale prophecy be prevailed. May he stomp his foot and stamp into the underworld. Because remember, actually, you know, when Ishtar and Inanna come back up from the underworld, it's many ways to tell that, you know, including the Star Trek way. But pretty consistently, the mythos, the guiding mythos from 3,500 years ago is the deal is struck. That she can come back, and this fits so much in your fabulous book, The Ghost Dance, and all of these. She can come back as long as she sends down a replacement. We might have some nominations. And so when she gets back, DeMuzzi, everybody was worried about her, like, oh, and we're so glad you're back, and we were so worried, and now nature can bloom, and we can be her friend rather than her enemy, except for her partner DeMuzzi, who was a vegetable, a party vegetable, and she approaches him, and the literature is great. She goes, and he did not rise from his throne. He was wearing his fine garments, and she says to him, "Huh? Well, gee, the deal was struck that I have to send down a replacement," and everybody was grieving appropriately, but you, I wonder who that will be. So in a sense, we get to all of these myths are available for animation, not to harm, but just in the mystery play, and we go, nature comes back up, Dementors go back down to find their soul. But there's so much in your book, and let me tout it further now that I am even more intimate with it. The Ghost Dance: An Untold History of the Americas by Michael Stewart Ani, and so I have cards stuck in it everywhere. But very pertinent because I'm skipping towards the end there. But you're talking about Latin America, and when Lula emerges, he's thought of as like, oh, good, how wonderful, right? And this is a resonant theme of the myths in all cultures, and certainly in Mesoamerica, of, you know, the wise god, the leadership returning, and they mistake it for a guy, the wrong guy. Oh, well, they're over and over again, and in Native American culture as well, as you delineate. I can read your paragraph or you can say it, but you say caught up in the grandiosity of his illusion, right? Oh, say, yeah, no, you can't be a myth or you'll get destroyed by it. Lula lit the match in the Brazilian. Oh, sorry. Yes, you can take over.
Yeah, well, with Lula, who I think had good thoughts and cared for people, he was an urban reformer. He wanted to bring works to working class people in the factories and all. But once again, the paradigm we're in with our politicians is one of urban people who have no true understanding of the workings of nature. So he and Dilma, who ended up breaking my heart because I was hoping that they would protect Amazonia, but in fact, they also ravaged the rainforest because it's the old struggle of if you're going to build factories in the cities and give people better jobs, you need to exploit those raw materials for somewhere in nature. And it's just so curious that all through time, the indigenous people of America have been given what people believe was the worthless land. But because it was remote and they took care of it, it turns out to be the land where all these minerals and gold and things can be exploited, so gas, oil, all these things. So we had a more supposedly progressive regime, and they were also extremely destructive to the environment, and they claimed they were doing it to raise the economy, but the economy crashed, and it set up a scenario where an outright fascist like Bolsonaro can come in and scare people and use the media, social media, to, he hired companies to send out false facts and, you know, a lot very similar to what we're claiming happened in the United States with Russia. And so I'm really looking myself for a paradigm of new leadership that is aware of our number one problem, the environment, because without water and air and lack of pollution, nothing else matters. We'll all be gone. That is the number one issue here. And it's just so ironic that the people at Davos and the people who claim to be the philanthropists who are going to give money to do all these beneficial things really are just creating very poor quality jobs, as was pointed out by the UN representative the other day, wonderful lady. And that's the situation we've got ourselves in. And we're being told, even though people like you and I don't believe it, it's been so fed to us that the paradigm is might makes right. And who business, you can't have honor, you just have to win at. That's the way business works. And we're told, oh, no matter what anybody else says, that's the only paradigm there is. But there's a great deal of history, which I point out in my book, that points out to places like El Corral in Peru, where it's been proven El Corral, the city, existed for 875 years without military violence. So their paradigm was built on quality instead of quantity. And I think part of what I would call the new conservatism is going back to growing our own food, healthy food from people that we know, repairing the earth, growing soil instead of polluting it with pesticides. This is all part of a new paradigm that the Ghost Dance really is offering us as a way out of the problem. Because although I'm very worried about the state of the situation, I've watched the jungle and the hyacinths and macaws all fade before my eyes in one short lifetime in 50 years. But in my heart, because I've had the opportunity to be with people who really understood this and the plants, the talking plants that have knowledge of this, I really believe there's a way out of the horrificness of the situation climatically we've gotten ourselves into. But I do not believe that science and technology and politicians, who are the ones who have caused this problem, now they're trying to convince us they're the ones to get us out of it. I'm a little skeptical.
Right. Although, again, the trickster within us all says whatever we speak to another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. So just as the Catholic
Absolutely.
Church, boo, 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 terrible. And then, you know, liberation theology, which is why the Taurus Pope, Paul, completely misunderstood the role of the Catholic Church and was so disgraceful in his receiving of, the important martyred bishop from Latin America, who was then assassinated. All honor be upon him when we remember his name as well. I didn't understand that. And then in the same way, you know, when you speak about Lula, in your book, you say he turned out not to be Mother Earth's candidate, although all that you say, you know, urban, you know, well-meaning, didn't understand. And then, you know, and you write beautifully about that. You do say the destruction, many inhabitants of the forest, both two and four-legged, died in the fires that sent endless black clouds of smoke billowing up into the air and irritated the eyes of the furious gods. They watched as the spirit houses of the vaporous Hecora crumbled and melted like slivers. The spirits of the forest leapt from shadow to shadow with blazing manes to escape the tropical inferno. And then you say, and we'll come back, well, here it's going to take us to Venezuela, all right, still smoldering, the forest spirits crossed over the Parima mountain range that separates Venezuela from Brazil, trying to find a safe haven in which to hide. And on the other side of the mountain, in El Dorado, there were no flames because Hugo Chavez had protected the Tree of Life, the Alto Orinoco Biosphere Reserve. Right, I guess, Yes, and then here we go.
You know, like we're saying once again, and a great point you're making, Caroline, is I too am not a person who sees everything. Oh, you're either with us or against us. I've known all kinds of people that I've enjoyed greatly that didn't feel the way I felt or believe what I believe per se. But I do hold true to a basic human instinct, which I believe human beings basically know right from wrong on a certain level. We know it's wrong to kill children, to destroy for no reason, to destroy what gives us life. I think that's part of us. And right now, that's the ghost dance coming up, almost prophesizing what is happening today, because virtually that thing that has moved into Brazil with Bolsonaro and the evangelist takeover of the country actually started in Venezuela. And Hugo Chavez, who too was a controversial person, he did throw them all out of Venezuela for crimes against nature, crimes against indigenous people, and pedophilia, which seems to me be very much part of who they are. And they went over to Brazil and reorganized. And right now, today, is what we're dealing with Bolsonaro. So it's a tricky dance calling, you know, people all right or all wrong. But there's a basic instinct of empathy. And when I see leaders like Trump and Bolsonaro, who obviously have no empathy, isn't that the definition of a sociopath, one who cannot feel for others?
Yes, that would be a highly rewarded category. Until now, we want to change that. And then just your great paragraph, and then we'll take it into Venezuela now and many, many places we want to go, and a deeper delving into the ghost dance and your dedication, what it is, and we can bring it alive. There we go. We can do this. But you say, although many Yanomami had been evangelized the previous year, there were still those among them who could see the beautiful Hikura and Shapori in the old way, following the fleeing Hikura, an exodus of animals moved across the border to where the subterranean tree of life was rooted. There, huddled together around the tree, the Shapori held council, telling the Hikura, the animals and the native people, that this was where they were going to make their stand to protect mother. Well, that's Venezuela. So we're going to be...
And well, when we speak of the tree of life, I'm not talking about a tree standing up as we know it. To the people, the tree of life is a subterranean tree. It is literally the mycelium network of the plant world, which they communicate. It's their internet below the earth. The Americas used to be completely connected through different mushrooms and fungi that wove their mycelia across all three continents and made them as one. That was all divided up by borders, by tearing up the forest, by cement, by many things that destroyed that network. And what's happened with the people there that I just wanted to point out, up until the same exact evangelist missionaries that have helped Bolsonaro win the election through lies in Brazil are the very same people with Damaris Alves leading it, are the very same people that were thrown out of Venezuela for these crimes. And what happened in Venezuela was, for years they were around the Yanomami, and there was less than a quarter of a percent, of 1% of Yanomami that had any desire to evangelize, and the few did it more for economic reasons. Once they brought in the epidemics, and they brought them in, that is a medical fact, they used the epidemics to get the Indians sick and then brought in medicine to say, listen, if you will baptize and evangelize, this medicine will save you. And if you don't do it, you're going to die. So the amount you were saying of evangelized Yanomami happened in a very short period of time because they were literally trapped and dying. And soon as the missionaries left, they all went back to being Yanomami and had very little need or any understanding of what these people were talking about.
Right. Right, and then let me just weave in all of our allies, our great ally Andres Tomas Contreras, who started Democracy Now in Espanol, and I spoke with him the other day where he was in Uruguay, and just a little brief thing, he said Uruguay is one of the only four countries in Latin America that is opposing the U.S.-backed coup or takeover, which is Uruguay, Bolivia, Mexico, and of course Cuba. You know, and then he, and I'll toss it back to you too, of course, was saying, you know, this right-wing swing, you know, in Chile and Peru, where the daughter, Keiko Fujimori, in prison, declared herself president. And we go, oh, this is a... And then John Bolton, newly declaring the president, misspelled his name, which we can see as Guiado, which means one who is being led. So that was an occasion of much appropriate, ironic laughter and cartoons in the Latin American press. And we go, there we go. And then also he said the European Union, right, gave Venezuela 8-day ultimatum for elections. And he said, well, this is, you know, they backed the fraudulent election in Honduras with not a whisper, and we go, oh. So back to our you know, pragmatic political activism plus the crucial thing too, which is the imagining, you know, and how to protect La Alameda Chapel and all that it represents, and also, you know, what you hold dear. I mean, for everyone, it really is this model of whatever by affinity. We love all life, but whatever we love particularly is a clue, and to become more like it, to partner, to protect wolves, become more like wolves, to protect water, become more like water. And you are so good, Michael Stewart Ani, at, you know, to protect the Amazon, become more like the Amazon. And your book and your life, the complete artfulness of your life is really about that, right?
Oh, it's that, and of course it has two sides, because I spent so much time in the deep forest that I really got to a point where I realized that if I did not come out, I would never be able to come out. I evolved so much into it that there's a point you have to take a breath and step back. And as you know, my better half, Fern, was very important in when I was about to turn around and go right back to the forest. She convinced me that there was a time that I was much more needed here than fighting frontline battles to keep people alive down there, because the truth is the people there are excellent at doing that without my help. They're, as I used to always joke, there's no dumb indigenous people in the Amazon, because in the Amazon, if you're dumb, you're dead. You got to be smart to survive every day. And the point to what we were leading to with this is throwing around words like democracy. There's nothing democratic about going into somebody else's country, putting in a absolute puppet, Juan Juego, who Juego has absolutely no professional knowledge of the job they're supposed to give him. He was never elected. He never went through parties or the judicial system. So us calling him a Democratic president is like calling the Easter Bunny the god of the world, or me and you saying, because Trump has handled everything so terrible in this country, Caroline and I are going to be the next president and vice president of the United States. Gee, we want to be. That's great. It's just absolutely insulting to human consciousness that these people believe that we are so stupid that we would believe this absolute nonsensical stuff that they throw out and put a little fear factor on it so it scares us, so we react the way they want. And that's really what's going on here. And as you say, in South America, it's not simply that these countries are on the side of Trump and they see the evil of Venezuela. They're all in the pocket of the financial system is what's happening here. And there was a huge wave of reform in Latin America, as you pointed out, Honduras, and you said the elections. Far before the elections, The United States intervened and got rid of the progressive president who was really changing the country around and put in once again scorched earth fascists that killed thousands and thousands of people. And it's a big part of the reason why we have all these immigrants at the border, because the means to destroy their life came from the United States, and it actually started out with the Democrats, not the Republicans, which is the crazy part.
Well, it was, Hillary Clinton backed that.
Absolutely.
Let us remember everything, you know, and again, there's Andres Contreras is working on with many people on a book about Berta Cáceres, who was assassinated, who was a great embodied, spiritual, practical defender of land and earth and her people. And but I do love and love to keep saying, and may it resonate in all of our hearts, that at the Goldman Awards, where she was honored the year before, beautiful, beautiful, and then she was assassinated, and her indigenous colleague women took the stage and they said, "Berta did not die, she multiplied." Right, and we could all feel goosebumps, right? And that's kind of what you're speaking of in the Ghost Dance, going, all these beautiful people who died protecting Mother Earth, they didn't die, they multiplied, and they're being born in each one of our hearts now, right?
In fact, Tupac, the Inca king, who the famous Tupac Shakur, the rapper, took his name from, which I always loved. He, when he was drawn and quartered by the conquistadors, it was originally his line. That's where it came from. He says, "You will pull me apart, but every piece of me will become a new person. I am gone, but I will become many." And that's where that line actually came from. So it gives me goosebumps just to hear it from you. I think it's a wonderful part of who we are, and a great belief in that the earth itself and the people that feel it have a power that these people who have gotten so removed from the earth and destroy it have lost. That's where I have my faith, because when I first came back to the United States at the end of the 70s, I spoke to many powerful organizations, World Health, I spoke at the Inter-American Bank, the World Bank, and they thought I was a curious monkey. They didn't take my environmental rap very well. In the late 80s, I did it again, and I spoke to the Inter-American Bank, the World Bank. I spoke to a lot of people, and they once again found it curious. So I asked myself why these scientists back then were like, "Oh, this is a tree hugging, this is an Indian lover thing, this isn't about adult people who run the world." All of a sudden, I get on Twitter and I get on the internet, and they're saying the world and the climate is about to collapse. So where's all that middle ground of them warning us and us getting ready for it? How did we go from "this is silly tree hugger" to "we're all going to die"?
We're going to get right back to that. We're going to have our very short Taj Mahal break. We sailed past it because we're diving in. Our guest is Michael Stewart Ani. His website is Michael Stewart, Stuart, Ani, ANI.com. And we are going to be diving back into the Ghost Dance and what it really means on the other side of this break. We'll be right back. Here we go.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chiny, 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 come blow my chiny horn. Ooh, chiny, 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 come blow my chiny horn. Grab my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our guest guide we are welcoming the return of Michael Stewart Ani. His website is michaelstewartani.com, author of The Ghost Dance, An Untold History of the Americas. Really riveting really riveting. And also, you know, many things that we're going to come right back to the ghost dance and people's misconceptions and what it really is and mm-hmm. how it's living for all of us and all of that. But also, yes, there is a group global started in England and chapters everywhere, Extinction Rebellion, beginning conversing, because it is time for the confluencing of all allies. And we go, right. And, you know, Greta, the wonderful Swedish young woman.
Love her.
Good. Yes, love her. Again, fiercely articulate. I don't want you to be comfortable. I want you to panic, she says. And just fierce, you know, and just... So, yeah, as you mentioned at Davos, you know, infinitely annoying. And then those radiant good people. Because we want to cultivate discernment and complexity, because we were just speaking of Venezuela, right? And it is made more complex that Maduro has done. There's no simple hero here. Maduro has done also horrible things. However, that is no excuse for the in motion plan to inhale Venezuela's oil and all these nefarious things as well. So complex discernment, you know. There we go, everybody. Okay, and then. You, an excellent guide to complex discernment, Michael Stewart, honey. So, you know, I have now read and will reread your book, your excellent guide through so much, The Ghost Dance by Michael Stewart, honey. And let's dispel that, because ghost dance is often used as astrology, has become a gold standard of contempt, you know. So there was even a scientist I was hosting on radio who goes, oh, no, well, no, superstition like the ghost dance just got everybody killed. So it's become also a default of scorn without people who know what it is.
Right.
And there aren't that many, right? So
yeah.
dive us into your dedication.
Yeah, what people who are not in the know don't realize that the ghost dance that we know, which was a revival movement in the late 1800s on the American plains when the tribes were all broken and on reservations, and Wovoka, a Paiute prophet, and other people, it wasn't just Wovoka, there were many ghost dancers, said, no, we're going to do a ceremony, and the ceremony is going to actually be a Christian round dance, because by then, including Wovoka, most of the ghost dance prophets actually came out of the mission system, and the shaking and the falling on the ground came out of the Shakers that were with the Paiute at the time.
Right.
So by the time that ghost dance happened, did it work and was it functional? I can't speak for all, because many tribes have different ghost dances, but in the overall picture, it did not work. My contention with that is that wasn't the actual ghost dance. My great discovery with this was I do read hieroglyphics and pictographs, a bit Egyptian and quite a bit Mesoamerican, and in one of the 17 remaining pre-Columbian holy books that were not destroyed by the Inquisition in the church, there is a picture in the Codex Borgia of literally the god Quetzalcoatl and the Lord of the Dead dancing back to back to create civilization and also to create the means that will save civilization and humanity at the end of the fifth world, which is exactly where we are now. So the fact and what the book follows is the ghost dance was a very ancient religion practiced by most, if not all, the tribes of the Americas, a great deal. But the ghost dance that was made famous mostly through Western white history was a dance by then that was very bastardized and was not the essence. And in fact, even the Yanomami, who were cut off from all this history when I was with them, they were still literally a naked tribe living in their own reality. When the epidemics hit the Alto Orinoco, brought in by the missionaries at the mission at on the Padamo River, which is a historic medical fact that it was brought in, they know exactly who brought it in, they started ghost dancing, and they did many of the same moves as the tribes did in the United States of washing themselves with soil to get the stink of the shawara, what brings the disease to them off their skin and all. So my contention is that the ghost dance is the sacred ritual of the Americas that has gone on, but to take that segment of it from 1887 to 1890, when the United States outlawed the ghost dance, murdered Sitting Bull, and massacred the people at Wounded Knee, not even aware that the ghost dance was outlawed, it shows how much they feared that ritual. And thus, people who even took more of the neoliberal, we're helpful look, they said, oh, it's a sham, it was ridiculous, it was primitive. But these are the same people who also say, oh, let's help the Indians. But of course, we're socialists or we're scientists. We don't believe they have anything to offer. They're just people who have the right to live. I stand vehemently against that. I truly believe that the young indigenous people that came out of Standing Rock and places like that are the front line of all of our battle to fight the world, because they're in the thick of it. They are on the front line. And indigenous people, since the conquistadors first arrived, have been the front line of keeping nature alive. And what the ghost dance really means is, in almost every ethnic group of the Americas, of the indigenous people, the word dance and ritual are the same. So what the ghost dance actually means is each individual's tribe ceremony of how they commune with their ancestors who lived before us and have a great deal of knowledge, and the elements of nature that control the weather and the climate, so they could be one with the entire cosmology and network they were part of. So this type of indigenous awareness that comes from the soil of the Americas is key to our future survival. So I don't buy that they're primitive or their beliefs are silly.
Right, right. No. That's good. Yeah. That's good. No, yeah. No. And that is changing. And Standing Rock and many things have a lot to do with that. I want to bring in, but just for the fun of it, when you said, and it's the young people at Standing Rock, and I'm going, no wall between young and old. There's Faith Spotted Eagle. There's whatever. No walls, Michael. No walls. It's everybody.
I'm with you, and that's my own insecurities because that's my age group.
No. We're still kick butt. You know, no. We need everybody. We need dandelions, which is what Bridget brings back from the underworld.
My old friend Russell Eagle Bear and Leonard Crow Dog, who are my old friends, and we're older. Russell was, I think, the first guy to get arrested. And the truth about Standing Rock was the elders, Roy Stone, the real true people in the backcountry that still speak the language and live the way they did, they had a very close eye on everything, and they were very much in control in their own way of the situation there. So I'm glad you catch me at that.
No walls. We're dissolving all the walls. But I want to bring up something also that I found not astounding to you because you wrote this, but quite fabulous, again, reclaiming our history, which, again, I invite people to do by reading The Ghost Dance by Michael's book. And I'm going to read just a little bit of you and then toss it to you. You know, Cabeza de Vaca, right? It's like, wow. And so he spoke with a talking plant and had become a ghost dancer, right? Because we want to bring the sacraments into play here. And he was brought before Cortez, a straggly Cabeza de Vaca pleaded his case. Señores, there is a treasure even greater than gold in this land, for these people still remember what we Europeans have forgotten, how to live as part of nature in the Garden of Eden. Take your gold, but leave its people in peace, you know, and leave me with, I guess the sacrament was peyote, is that what he was?
Yes, peyote.
We go, right. And I'd never heard that about de Vaca. I mean, that's really great because it's part of our complexity. People come as conquerors, commune with the talking plant. Not everybody's heart changed, but some. You know, again, And then he goes back to Europe. He's ordered back to Europe by Cortez, who thinks he's gone native. Well, he has. What a good idea. We should all do that. And ends his life teaching school and lonely and sad.
And he did one other amazing thing, which is about dissolving walls. I want to bring it up. Is he was a European foreigner, and actually in North America, the tribes he traveled through were all bickering amongst each other, so they were not sharing their herbal knowledge, their healing knowledge. Mm. It took an outsider who could travel among them to bring the different knowledges to the different ethnic groups and bring them together as a people. So he was a wall dissolver. He was exactly that. He was not an indigenous person at all, yet he probably did more in that point of history of spreading herbal cures from one tribe to another than anyone alive for hundreds of years before or after.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, without, you know, again, complexity, everybody, that sometimes the outsider, not as the great white savior, but the outsider, you know, is the cross-pollinating agent, you know, of any kind. And that also, you know, like Cortez and his friend, you know, the woman Malinche, it was discord among the warring Aztec tribes that allowed the conqueror to come in. And so for all of us, yes. Team, I just want to bring in the useful saying that, you know, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. And we add, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth. And so it's like, so we want to compost, you know, and leave behind in the composting underworld, you know, small bickering, you know, and it's like, no, loving the earth, guiding everyone together, democratic animism, biomimicry, here we go, you know, and the ghost dance. And that was an amazing piece of history, as there is much going, oh, how interesting. And I don't know if you want to go into Quanah Parker. I was just underlining things going, I know that name, and here he is, the Comanche chief. Learned how to speak to ghost through peyote.
Because most people don't realize the tribes of the United States, none of them except the border tribes like the Pima and the Yaqui, use peyote at all. It was introduced, I believe, in 1886 or 1882, I'm not remembering the date exactly, by Quanah Parker, whose grandmother was a Tayumare indigenous person, who are the first cousins of the Huichol, who were the famous peyote people. And he was cured with peyote as a child. And so when the people were losing their culture and he saw the devastation and the heartbrokenness, he used peyote to bring the people back to their indigenous roots, and his work with that ultimately became the peyote church we have today. And although his original belief system was not related to Christianity, and in later years it was adopted by the church, it still is like the ghost dance, that remnant of the ancients thing. As I also point out in the book, that the Day of the Dead in Mexico was actually originally performed by the Aztec as a Lady of Dead ceremony in June and July, when the Ethiochins that they ate in the ceremony, Dishitu and the little ones, grew, and the church literally changed it to the European All Saints and All Souls days to destroy that ceremony. So actually the Day of the Dead is a true last piece of the original Mexican ghost dance.
Right. And, you know, and that's so important. And also for people who are fascinated, I hosted Michael 3 weeks ago, where we dove even more deeply or in an additional way, you know, into the use of sacraments and Brazilian indigenous people and all of that, which we're touching on. But 3 weeks ago show also really good with this one, really good, because what we've been exploring, and here we are, both of us, Librans, with the Sun conjunct Neptune, the power of dreams and entheogens, and Saturn square Uranus, we are heretics, but planets in Capricorn, responsible heretics. So, you know, it's a perfect time. It's a perfect time now in our guiding chart. You know, Neptune is within all of us, right? It's, you know, entheo-endogenous indigenuity, right? Is within all of us, awaiting quickening to be spoken to, and it is the capacity to cooperate with the larger guiding intelligence of nature and to weave the story backstage, and that's the part that's against all odds, you know. And you know, and I want to toss it back to you on the evangelical plot to destroy the world and all indigenous people. And I mean, that's, it is for real. It sounds crazy, you know, to some, but it is for real, you know. And so we also, as strategists, as dreamer strategists in cahoots with the guiding ancestors and the nature and, you know, say, well, the people who fall for that, they want a story. They want to be part of something, right? And we go, let's liberate from the toxic mimic and animate the authentic, right? And that's really what you're doing with your book and your work, right? Animate the authentic, which is what people really want. They just get snookered and hoodwinked and bamboozled, you know, feeling that there isn't. But they everybody wants a guiding story, even those who are suckered by the evangelicals. The people up to this, we don't quite know what they want. They just like death or specialness. Same thing. But yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, that this is a simple yet odd thing, is we all realize now that we're not in touch with the weather. Just listen to the weather people. They don't hit it very often. And we see the climates. Yeah, the climate's out of step. We're having a problem. So there has to be a relationship with these elements of nature. Something has to be able to commune in some form with them. And I believe that why there's a great deal of psychedelic research going on, which can very much help people with problems, with their personal emotional conditions, with dealing with death and all kinds of wonderful things, healing. There's a whole other end of it, which is really about how you commune with the ancestors, how you commune with the weather, how the Toltec never got themselves into environmental problems like we have, and they had big civilizations too. We have to find that way to communicate, and I do believe the plants, the original inhabitants of this planet, we're the aliens, we came later, we're the immigrants here. It's the plants, it's their place. I still believe they're holding for us the means to communicate. Now, some people say that when you take a psychotropic, what happens is the poison in the plant is having a chemical reaction. Well, any of us who have done it, and I've taken poison by accident at times, and this, it has very little in common. One of it, you feel like you're literally, your body's dying, and the other one, you feel like a transformation of your soul. It's a different death you go through. So I think that's key to it, and that also leads us very much back to the evangelists and missionaries who, from the beginning, have wanted to either ridicule, make folly out of, or destroy as the devil's work, all this learning and understanding of the people. The tens of thousands of pre-Columbian codexes that told these stories were all burnt after the Inquisition, during the Inquisition, after the conquest, and there's only 17 books left out of all those, yet ironically, in these 17 books, the story's still being told.
And wasn't it Bishop Landa who actually reached into, he who had been persecuting and burning the books, had a change of heart and was like, oh, wait a minute, let me grab seven.
Yes, that is part of it's amazing you know that. Yes, after the burning went on, it is in the 1700s, he finally went, wait a minute, this could be a mistake, but it was a little too late. Yeah.
Well, no, but it's him who was the chief persecutor, and then it's sort of like the Brer Rabbit stories were collected by a slave owner, you know. But then he reaches into the fire. He's like, oh, maybe this is a mistake, and so the codexes we have are the ones rescued from the fire by Bishop Landa, who had set them on fire. So again, complexity.
Except for the Codex Borgia. The Codex Borgia, which has the Sundance, was literally stolen by the Borgia Pope's brother and brought back earlier than that took place. But it's very true what you're saying. He put his hand in the fire, and it was actually the destroyer who turned around. And many of these books exist, especially the Mayan versions, because of him. That's absolutely true. Right.
So you never know, and that's why we want to, you know, not count on the goodness of what, but speak to it. And woof woof, want to play, and if people do, that's good, and if they don't, we move on. But we're almost all right. We're in our last minute and a half, Michael. And there's so much. Well, we're going to keep this going, you know, forever because it's so crucial. But is there anything again you would want to exhort? We spoke 3 weeks ago more, and we will do again on the difference between entheogens and ayahuasca in an indigenous setting and in America. And may it be that people actually have a larger dedication than, you know, resolving childhood trauma. But that's not okay, but it's a reduction from the larger dance. Anything you want to send forth now, oh great ally?
The last second, what you touched on, Caroline, is that as crazy as it sounds, and a year or so ago I would never say this because people think I'm crazy, I know specifically, and I know the literal people involved, there has been a long-going evangelist, how can I put this, I don't want to say conspiracy, a long-going evangelist program to bring out what they call the prophecy of 2,000 tribes, which is that the last 2,000 tribes have to be evangelized before the tribulation can begin, and thus the return of Jesus Christ and the end days. And to end on the point, if anybody questions that, 2,000 tribes pavilion was at the New York World's Fair.
No, up note. We've got 10 seconds. We have to end on an up note, Michael. No, not quite yet. Goodbye, but okay, and until now, there we go, until now, oh, great team. That's right, yeah, so we are redeeming the authentic, and it's humming in everyone's heart. I know, that's great. So thank you very much, Michael Stewart Ani. Again, his website, michaelstewartani.com. Do check out the book for great history and pertinent to ourselves now. Thanks so much, Kirsten Thomas and Erica Bridgman, for operating the board. I'm Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week, and with more conversations ongoing like this, confluencing of all allies. Woof, woof, woof. Thank you, team.
Woof.